sunny and 75 degrees in Kalamazoo. It's 590 WKZO, 408 in time for hour number two of the Jeremy Lawrence Show. I'm glad you could be here with us as we talk about some things. You know, I have seen an awful lot, and there's been an awful lot of news come out about the shooting of Michael Brown. This was out in Ferguson, Missouri. And chances are you've been seeing this, you've been hearing about it, and all the details that surround it. According to what we are hearing today, first of all, that Michael Brown was the chief suspect in a robbery that took place at a convenience store in that area. But the chief of police there also said that the contact between Michael Brown and the officer that shot him was unrelated to the store robbery. It was related more to Brown and his friend walking down the middle of a street. Now, based on what I could see at this point, and it's pure conjecture, but I think what we're seeing is an exercise in overreactions. And not just on one side, but both sides here. As the story goes, Brown and his friend were asked to get out of the street by the officer. The officer came back to confront them again. And apparently there was some sort of a scuffle between the officer and Brown. And it happened through the window of the police cruiser. Now, on one side, you'll hear that Brown was completely, he was just trying to get away. And he was drawn into the cruiser by the policeman and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not buying that. Now, on the other side of this, I'm not necessarily buying that he needed to be shot and killed in this particular manner. I don't know. It seems to me like that was an overreaction on the part of the officer involved. Now, again, I am this far away, so this is just from the accounts I've read and the different things I've seen. But I think there is one thing that is an absolute overreaction and a sad reminder of times past in this country. And that was the looting that took place and the different things that took place, all the rioting and whatnot that took place after that. Now, there wasn't a ton of, this was not LA riots kind of level, but it was nasty. There were some things going on. And there were pictures that we saw of people looting various stores as a result of it. And I want to say this. I don't think, whatever it is that's happened, that anybody has the right to do that. That does not give you the right to just go steal from someone because of what police did in that case. I don't think that that is, I think that's just purely wrong, the what took place. And I think the other part of this is that the thing that needs to take place on this that would be purely right is that everybody sit back and just get more information. One of the things that we do so easily in our society right now is, particularly with social media, I mean, you see how, all right, thus and such said this or that happened. Well, then you see the overreaction take place. Oh, I can't believe that happened. Oh, I can't believe it. Look at this. Look how horrible they are. When the truth of the matter is, it may or may not have happened that way. It might have been something totally different. You may not know. And that's why I think in issues like this, not only is it important to dig down a little bit, dig down further, get some more information, find out what's happened. But it's also important not to overreact in any situation, whether it's be, all right, some injustice has been done. Challenge it, yes. By all means, challenge it. Protest it. But in a way that is a detriment to the city? No. Not by any stretch. It just, as I've looked at this happen, and I've seen the pictures of it, seen what's going on, it has made me glad where we all live. And I don't want to say that we're better than what's going on there because, you know, there by the grace of God go we, I think. You have to remember that. But I think that we can at least feel good about that here for now. We have a sense of unity in that, you know, we're much bigger than political party. We're much bigger than belief system. We belong to this area. We are from this area. We are, in a sense, all of us can say we are Michiganders. And I think that's a good thing. It's something that unites. It's something that is in common here. And I think that the sense of overreaction, whether it started on one side or the other, it's been overreaction all along. And overreaction with this whole idea that, you know, you have the police there is almost a military organization. And that can be an overreaction as well. Really, things need to tone down. We need to just kind of chill out and wait and see what happens in these cases. Because, you know, in these cases, there's problems. And we need to figure out who did what happened, and what needs to be done at this point. Because in times like these, that's when you know that we need to settle down. We need to get more information. Because if you don't, you end up with something blowing up, particularly like, you know, like things blow up on Facebook and then a day later, oh, wait, different information. Okay, never mind. And we've seen it. We've probably all done it a time or two. I don't know. But it's worth thinking about in situations like this. So that would be my encouragement. As you see the news roll in about this, digest it. Find out a little bit more. And I think that, you know, what I've drawn from this is I need to know more. But what I'm seeing is overreaction on everybody's part. And I don't think overreaction is called for in any case. Now, as we continue on, I'm going to change the topic up here a little bit. You know, you've heard the calls for charter schools to improve. Well, there's a different call out there. Maybe a different option for schools altogether in Michigan. We'll talk about it. We'll take your phone calls as well as we continue. It's the Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. Seventy-five degrees, sunny skies in Kalamazoo. It's 590 WKZO. It's a reminder, if you want to be a part of the program at any given time, as we're talking about things, particularly with what we're about to talk about, I'd love to get your viewpoints on this. 803-73, if you'd like to text us. If you're on the go, that might be the best way to be a part of it. But we'd love to have you on the phones today if you would like to give us a call. And the phone number is pretty simple to remember. It's toll-free, 877-382-4280, or locally, 382-4280. And you can be a part of the programs that way as well. Now, it's been brought up. You know, there was a series of articles that was out there talking about charter schools and the level of accountability they have and that kind of thing. And there's been thoughts after this series of articles, well, we need to do something about that. It's something that State Board of Education and Superintendent Mike Flanagan was talking about. He was talking about, well, we need to get charter schools to, we're going to put, you know, the authorizer on notice saying, well, if they can't take care of their charter schools, we're not going to give them anything in addition. And there's a sense that, well, we need to bring charter schools in line. We need to be able to, you know, bring them up to the standards that we have and that kind of thing. And I found that the argument, okay, I get what you're getting at. The idea that, well, charter schools, yeah, they need to be on top of things with their students and that kind of thing. I agree, they do. But the other part of this is that it isn't just charter schools. It's public schools that also need that kind of accountability. It's public schools that we need to know are going to perform well and are going to do things for the state that you know, it's going to be worth the money that we spend on education. Now, there was a column in Detroit News, and I found this intriguing. I wanted to share it with you. They said that what the state needs instead of the idea of, well, we're going to get everything all standardized and, you know, we're going to have the, you know, the public schools and charter schools have to live up to a certain standard and that kind of thing. They said instead of that, which they call less choice, what the state needs is more choice. And what they said is they put the call out there to say, you know what? It may be time for educational vouchers. Now, according to this column, in 1970, it was passed in the Michigan Constitution that taxpayer funding for private schools would be illegal. So what they're saying needs to take place is a constitutional amendment that would allow for vouchers to take place in the schools in the state. They brought up the idea that among the surrounding states, Michigan has the lowest ACT composite scores for 2013. The other thing is that every neighboring state, including Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Minnesota, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, offers parents some form of public support for private education and or vouchers, as the case may be. Now, basically what they're talking about here is the idea of setting up competition. And let's face it, when competition takes place, everybody's on their game a little bit more. Everybody's a little bit better because you realize, wait a minute, those dollars could go somewhere else. Now, you've seen this in public schools. They're absolutely against it. Why? Well, they don't want to see the money that they get leave their budget and go to someone else's budget. And they realize that that money that would be going towards vouchers for kids to go to different schools, public or private, would come out of the pure per child dividend, stipend, whatever you want to call it, that goes towards that school. So they don't want to lose that money. So rather than go, you know what, we need to make sure we're innovating. We need to make sure that we are on top of our game. We are at the best that we can possibly be. And if we're not, we need to get even better. What they're saying is, let's stand in the way of this. Let's make sure this doesn't happen. How dare they try to do this? And it's almost as if they're saying, how dare they try to make money off of educating? Now, never mind that there are schools out there that are doing that. And it's not a bad thing. Some of the schools are doing quite well at it. I don't have a problem with the idea of profit. I have the problem with the idea of, all right, you're spending the money. What kind of results are we getting out of this? What kind of things are we seeing in response to, all right, we're spending this much money on textbooks, on this, on that, and the other. What kind of return are we getting? Are we going to get ACT scores that are lagging? Or are we going to get education that really innovates? What I'd like to see is some innovation. I want to see innovation in the form of, you know, schools coming along going, you know what? Instead of sticking to the idea of, you know, and Common Core, I get it. Let's make sure everybody's up to a certain standard. But you know what? I think ultimately, you take it down to the local level and you say, look, we need to teach our kids well. We need to get them ready to be able to go for college. We need to be able to get them ready to be good employees in the area that they're growing up in. And some people will leave. I get that. But you know that by and large, people stick to an area. At least they have been in the past. And I think if we had that local control and we had that innovation that would come about strictly from the idea of vouchers, I think you would see some really positive gains in the way that students learn things in this state. And what this column in the Detroit News polls for is the idea that vouchers would help to innovate. It would help to have schools be able to teach our kids better. And they poll out the idea of when they did this in Washington, D.C., and that there's results to be had there. Students are performing better. And it says that 91% of students in that district graduate. Think about that. Think about when those numbers come up, what you see and what happens in an area. You talk about we want education, we want improvement on education. You know, I don't know if it's maybe more spending, but it's maybe different spending, and maybe this is the best idea. I don't know. I'd like to hear what your thoughts are on this, because, you know, there is the thought that, well, what in the world would public money be doing going into private education? I get that. I understand that. But if you're paying into private education, or if you're in paying into public education, shouldn't you expect certain things? And if you're not getting it, shouldn't you demand changes? So that particularly if you got a student that you want to be educated well, shouldn't you be in the position of being able to demand change enough to say, bring me something better? You know, and some people do make that choice by moving from one district to another. That's fine. But I think the having the choice of being able to go, all right, private schools, maybe we want to look into that. Interesting. I think it's something worth talking about. Now, I want to get your views on this. So give me a call. Toll free, it's 877-382-4280. Locally, it's 382-4280. And if you'd like to be a part of the discussion via text, you could do so by texting us at 80373. I guess what I'm wondering is it time for the state of Michigan to look at this seriously and to look at, and obviously we'd have to change constitutional amendment, whatever, and the whole bit. Yeah, that's part of the mix. But is it time for us to look at this? Is it time for us to decide, here's something that would be good? Maybe you don't think it would be good at all. Maybe you think we've got a different approach. I'd love to hear from you. 877-382-4280. 382-4280 if you want to be on the phone locally as well. We'd love to hear from you. And let's head on over to the phones right now where Jim is standing by in Vicksburg. Hi, Jim.
Hi. I was just hearing you talk about opening private schools up for vouchers and so forth. And before that, I heard you mention Michigan Public Schools having the lowest ACT composite scores in the region.
Sure.
Is that correct?
That's, yes, according to this piece.
Well, first of all, I'd like to speak to the ACT issue.
Okay.
Do you know what the participation in the ACT test is in the surrounding states of Michigan?
I do not have that at my fingertips offhand,
okay,
no.
Okay, well, I don't either, but I doubt if it's anywhere near the level that it is in Michigan schools. In Michigan schools, virtually every 11th grade student takes the ACT test. So I think right away you're kind of misleading people by giving them the impression that, you know, we're talking about students that are directed toward college and are taking the ACT test as it was back years ago when you or I went through school. Every student is taking the ACT test. The only students that have exemption from those in Michigan public schools now are students that are in a severely special education category.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So again, I want to set the record straight on that.
Fair enough. Jim, one thing, just I know it sounds like you've got another point that you want to make, and I'm staring down news right now. So would you mind hanging on the line, and then we can chat with you after we get through that?
Okay, I guess so.
All right, because I want to get to, you're going to make another point here. I get the feeling, and I want to give you some time to get to that. So if you just hang on the line, we'll do that. We'll continue the discussion. If you want to get a part of things, you can call in as well, 877-382-4280, 382-4280, as we continue ahead. Jeremy Lawrence Show, 590 WKZO. ...75 degrees in Kalamazoo, 590 WKZO. This portion of the program brought to you by Lake Michigan Credit Union, the best place for your money. Learn more at lmcu.org. We're talking about schools, the possibilities of vouchers is what we were discussing a little bit ago. If you'd like to be a part of the program, 803-73 if you want to text us. Also, if you'd like to phone us, 877-382-4280, 382-4280 locally. And Jim was on the line with us when we went to break. And Jim, I wanted to keep you around because I know you wanted to dig into some points there. Before we get into your second point, I did have took the liberty during the break to look up some of the ACT numbers. I believe it was participation rates for 2013. And indeed, you are right, actually. 100% of Michigan does take the test. Closest one around us is Ohio at 72%. So just to verify that for you. So there you go, Jim.
Well, and if you think about that, if you throw in 25% more students who probably would not be college-bound anyway, obviously it's going to pull down your composite score. So I think that's really kind of a misleading number to throw out there.
Fair enough. And I'm glad you brought it up. That's why we have the discussion here. So. Right.
And I think as far as vouchers go, I think first of all, you talked a little bit about school of choice. And I think that's the answer rather than vouchers, that school of choice is in place. It works on a level playing field that you have a choice of another public school option. When you start mixing in public school monies to private school, that's an oil and water combination. You're playing by totally different rules. You're playing by, separation of church and state. You're playing by guidelines that by rules of today, public or private schools rather don't have to follow, and that's fine. Those options should be there, but they shouldn't be there with public school money. Another example,
I think one thing that you could bring up here though is if you're saying, well, all right, that's an option, but it shouldn't be there with public money. There's an awful lot of people out there that just can't afford private school. Do we want to just take away that option from them?
I think it's a legitimate question to ask. There are a lot of people that can't afford to buy a Lexus either. I don't see what you're trying to say there. I think that's kind of a ridiculous comment.
But a Lexus is something that's kind of Jim, hang on a minute. Wait a minute, Jim. Here's the deal. You brought up a Lexus. And, let's talk about that. Okay, a Lexus is kind of a luxury thing and that kind of thing, but we're not talking about luxury education. We want our kids to get the best possible education. If that happens in a private school, why should we deny people that just simply because, hey, I can't afford it?
And there are grants available for that. There are grants that churches put up for private school that should not be put up by taxpayer money. It should be put up by scholarship, by foundations. It's a private school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have a number of towns, Vicksburg being one of them, that has a municipal golf course. Okay, that's great. It's a public golf course. It's a municipal golf course. By your line of reasoning, we could say, well, Vicksburg should have this municipal golf course, but should turn it into a private country club.
Now, Jim, you're bringing up all sorts of things, but school, we're talking about schools, not golf courses, not Lexus, not anything else.
And private. We're talking about public and private.
What we're talking about is education, and that's totally different from people going out and hitting the links. Come on.
You're talking about using public funds for private education, and what that's doing is siphoning more money off from the private school. And let's face it, the whole drive behind this is to destroy public schools.
Not at all.
Charter schools have done that already. Charter schools don't play on a level playing field in the sense that the majority of charter schools, first of all, cherry pick. They cherry pick the students. They also cherry pick the curriculum. Most charter schools that exist operate a K through 8 curriculum. They don't have to get into any kind of expensive lab or high tech course offerings.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to offer sports programs. They're cherry picking. And that's what this is about. This is all about money, and that's the point that I wanted to make. It's all about money, and if you're talking about using private funds public funds for a private education, you're talking about siphoning out more money.
But why is it a problem?
If you're talking about the kid going to not being able to go to a private school. Think about the poor kids who are left having to go to public school with less and less funding. That's what all this is leading to.
Well, Jim, why is it a problem, though, if we've got that kind of choice out there? Because you know exactly what's going to happen. The public schools would say, well, wait a minute, we want that money over here. So what are they going to do? They're going to get better.
And that's what happens with public school of choice right now. It's there. And I think it's a great thing. I think schools can offer a product that, especially schools in a neighboring area, can specialize on certain types of programming, and students can go to that program that fits their needs best, but they can do it within public funding.
But I guess the point I'm saying is if you end up with a better result over at a private school than what you would get in a public school, why would we say to certain people, all right, only you that can afford it can have that, and over here, well, you know, too bad, so sad, your kids are just going to have to go over there.
Okay, but I mean, let's get real here. Okay, if you have the choice of how many students you're going to have in your program, you're going to have the choice of class size, which is basically what you have with private school. You set the tuition, and you can set what you want. Now, I know private schools are really taking their lunch right now because we've had a bad economy. But that's been the plus of a private school, is a smaller student-staff ratio. They're trade-offs.
Mm-hmm. And,
but to turn around I really feel that what you're doing is trying to set up the notion that every kid ought to have the option to go to private school. And so let's use public funding to do that. But let's get real. How many kids are going to end up at that private school, and all the rest of the kids are going to be at the public school that's had money siphoned off to it? And that's the reality of things. So if you're really talking about education, you really need to talk about how you're going to spread that money out. And the thing, again, that I'm seeing is happening over and over right now is that we've been through a period where there have been cutbacks and cutbacks on public education. I just went through a situation this morning where requests were coming for more public donations to help supplement things that really should be essential budget items, things that have to do with safety of students, not enrichment. And those things are falling on the shoulders of foundations and civic organizations because the state has basically cut the money back. And then when outside groups help support it, the state's able to say, well, see, they didn't really need the money in the first place. I really see this entire line of approach of being something that is attacking public schools.
Well, I think it's rather the reverse. I think it's the line of saying, let's let the water raise all boats here. You know, if everything works well over here at this private school, the public schools will take notice and say, what's going on over there? Let's innovate and get better. And then you'll see public schools improving.
By siphoning away a finite amount of money.
Well, what I'm talking about is schools going, wait a minute, we want that money over here, so we're going to innovate, we're going to get better, and then people will maybe choose us instead of them.
And we're going to have to innovate with less money because you're going to send some of that private funding off to private schools.
Well, Jim, I don't think the answer is just in throwing money at it. The answer is in teaching well.
The answer is not throwing money at it, but the answer is recognizing that quality education takes money. And I think it's just been absurd. When you can break down basically babysitter wages and apply that across the board to the number of students in a school and public school teachers, you like to throw out averages and stuff, and then of course typically you get some Detroit area averages that are fairly high and they sound really impressive when you quote somebody who's at the top of scale and probably is also a football coach and they're making $100,000. And that's not the real world. The real world for a public school teacher is starting at about $30,000 to $40,000 after, pursuing a bachelor degree and being committed to a graduate degree and basically making less than babysitter wages. And then turning around and saying, well, you need to innovate. Well, innovation costs money. And that's the bottom line. Now, I know there's always this comment of, well, we just keep throwing money at it. Well, quality costs money.
Well, you could say that, but if we continue to throw money at things and things don't get better, then money is not necessarily. Now, Jim, come on. I'm talking to you here and you're talking over me, all right?
No. But say something that really is rational. I mean, this notion of...
I'm trying to have a rational discussion with you, and you're constantly talking over me. Now, what I'm saying is simply this. If we're talking about having a good quality education, why shouldn't we want the best for everybody and not just for a chosen few over here?
Absolutely.
If we're doing that, then if we have this thing where we can say, all right, for those that can't afford private, but you know private is better, you know that's what you want for your kid, why can't we say to them, okay, here you go, here, you can do this. And that's going to put the public schools on notice to say, well, wait a minute, we don't want that money going over there. So we're going to get better. We're going to innovate. We're going to get a whole lot better at what we do. I think it makes everybody better.
Okay. Well, first of all, as I said before, that if you're looking at a constitutional amendment to allow that to happen, then we need to level the playing field all the way across the board. And that is that private schools have to offer all of the same requirements that public schools are mandated to do, which is going to cost them much, much more money. So, again, what it really comes down to is you're draining funds.
Well,
you can talk about offering better education, but we're talking about a finite amount of money. We're talking about this basic public school funding, and you're talking about using that money under the guise of competition to send students off with that money a private school.
But Jim, why are you afraid of competition among schools?
I'm not afraid of competition one bit, but it needs to be on the same playing field. Public and private schools are not on the same playing field. I mentioned it a minute ago when I thought we were having a conversation that I'm all in favor of school of choice, and I think Michigan does a really good job of school of choice. You can go to just about any school within this county from another school district. And that's the same in St. Joe County. Just about everywhere I knew of, that's school of choice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's competition, and that's competition without siphoning money. I mean, it siphons money from public fund of one district to public fund of another, but it's not siphoning public school money off to private schools that don't have to follow the same guidelines.
Jim, I think we are going to just have to agree to disagree at this point. I got another caller coming in.
Yeah, we certainly are on that.
But I'll tell you what, I do appreciate you calling in, and feel free to do it again sometime.
Right.
I've enjoyed our.
Okay, you bet.
I've enjoyed our conversation. I really have.
Okay.
Thanks, Jim.
You bet.
All right, 382-4280, 877-382-4280. We head to the phones where Ray is standing by. Ray, thanks for your patience.
Hey, no problem, Jeremy. Jim used an argument against vouchers that really annoys me. He keeps saying that vouchers are going to siphon money away from public education, is going to take money away from public education. Here's a news clue for you. The tax dollars that we allocate to educate the kids in Michigan do not belong to the public schools. It is not; they are not entitled to those dollars. We tax ourselves. We pull money out of our hard-earned paychecks and give it to the state of Michigan to educate the children of Michigan. And if that education is best provided by a private school or a charter school, then I say go for it. I say whole hog, give the money in the form of a voucher to a private school to allow those kids in those bad public school districts like Detroit, Flint, to get a good education at a private school. The public schools are not entitled to that money, and it's not siphoning money away from public schools.
Okay. All right, Ray, appreciate you having your say there. I've got a break I'm on top of. Thanks for your call today.
All right, thanks.
Bye. We're going to continue discussing this with you, 877-382-4280. 382-4280 as we continue ahead on the Jeremy Lawrence Show. Heading towards 5 o'clock here on a Friday. A reminder to you, Kalamazoo's afternoon news coming up here in just a few minutes. We'll give you the lowdown on what's happened today and let you know, weather-wise, what's up and things like that. Commentary and all sorts of fun stuff headed your way. So make sure you keep it right where you got it. We've been talking about schools, been talking about vouchers, and the possibilities and that sort of thing. And you're calling in still, so we're going to take another phone call. If you'd like to get in very quickly, 877-382-4280. Mike is on the line in Kalamazoo. Welcome, Mike, to the program. Happy Friday.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, obviously listening to the discussion on the radio today, and there's a lot of discussion about what the private schools can do against what the public schools can do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the things that we're forgetting is the public schools have a chartered mission. They're required to teach the students, and not all students. You look around; not all students are there, and they want to learn. Whereas maybe your private schools, the students that are there they seriously want to learn. They're the students that everybody would want to teach if you were a teacher. Whereas the public schools get everybody. Everybody's entitled to that education, so they've got everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So the resources, it may require more resources, and you may not get quite the result when you have that population pool that you're trying to educate. And I mean, if you've got students that want to go to a private school and you want parents that want to send their kids to a private school, then so be it. Pay for it. But, I mean, the previous caller said, hey, these are our tax dollars, and we should be able to do whatever we want with them. Well, then maybe we should change the rules that the public schools aren't required to teach everyone then. Because if they don't want to be there and they don't want to learn, then we're allocating resources, and we're required to allocate those resources. And it's really not an even level playing field, and we're not giving the public school that same opportunity that we're giving the private school. Hey, if the students don't want to be there, then flush them, and so be it. And okay. Then we call it even.
Well, it's an interesting point that you bring up that, the public schools are that way. I guess at the same time, you know, what kind of standards are we setting? And I think the earlier caller brought up the point that ACTs are, 100% of students in Michigan take them. And you kind of wonder why that is if some of them are just not, quote, college material, as it were.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's just a thought that I had thinking about that. Mike, appreciate your call. Thank you so much.
All right.
Head on over here to one final call. We've got Jim on the line. Jim, quickly with your thoughts.
Hey, it's Jeff, Jeremy, from out here in Richland. How you doing today?
Doing well.
Well, my comment is, first of all, I don't want to be paying for corporate CEOs with my tax dollars. Second thing is that you got school boards that have elections every now and again, and if you're not happy with the way your school's performing, then you ought to go vote.
Okay. All right. Well, Jim, I appreciate your call today. Thank you.
Thanks, bye.
All right, and with that, you know what? We ought to go. It's Friday. You know what? It's the weekend. We got lots to look forward to, but appreciate the discussion today. You know, that's what it's all about. Let's have a conversation. There's a difference of opinion. You know what? We'll talk about it. I want you to have a great weekend. We're going to get together on Monday and do it all over again. 3:00. Be sure to join us. Until then, have a good one.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.